Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to all those who are watching with us today. So, the name of the message today is called, Are You Looking for the Manna? Are you looking for the manna? And I want to start out by asking, how is your Shemitah going? Are you finding your Shemitah blessings? And I did a message at Sukkot last year called, The manna in the Shemitah, I think that's what it was called. If you haven't seen it, watch it, because I think if you watch that one, you'll get a lot more out of this message, because this is what I'm connecting that message to again, the Shemitah with the manna that Yahweh gave from heaven, and the blessings that we should be getting, because as the Shemitah now is halfway through, even more, then we should be seeing the blessings that Yahweh has given. So let's start in Leviticus 25 and verse 20. It says, when you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? For lo, we may not sow nor gather our increase. Then I have commanded my blessing on you in the sixth year. It shall produce the increase for 3 years. Excuse me. And you shall sow the eighth year, and you shall eat of the old crop until the ninth year, until the coming in of its crop, you shall eat of the old. So here, Yahweh promises in the Shemitah year that if we are faithful, he promises us a triple blessing. And that's not only in our preparation, but that's in the year itself. It's in the Shemitah year that we should be looking for that blessing and seeking for that blessing, and believing, preparing and believing that we're going to get the blessing. I know myself that every time I leave the house during the Shemitah, it's exciting because I'm always wondering what Yahweh will provide, what will be there, you know, and you never know what he could provide, what kind of gleaning, or it's not necessarily even a physical blessing, but here I'm talking even more spiritual blessings that will come in the Shemitah year. So let's go back to Exodus 16 with the Shemitah. And let's read about, Exodus 16 with the manna. And let's read about this and connect the two together, you know, with the Shemitah year and looking for the manna. So I'm going to be reading here Exodus 16 from verse 11 all the way down to verse 35. And then we're going to discuss, I'm going to go over 4 points that I have today that we could learn from the scripture that I'm going to be reading here. So, starting in verse 11. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, between the evenings you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be satisfied with bread. And you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. And it happened in the evening, the quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning a layer of dew was around the camp. And the layer of dew went up, and behold, something small was on the face of the wilderness, scale-like, small like the hoar forest on the earth. And the sons of Israel looked, and they said, each one to his brother, what is that? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which Yahweh has given to you for food. This is the thing which Yahweh commanded, gather from it each one according to the mouth of his eating. An omer for a head, by the number of your souls you shall take for each man who is in your tent. And so the sons of Israel did, and they gathered, the one gathering much and the one gathering little. And they measured with an omer. And the one gathering much did not have too much, and the one gathering little did not have any need. Each one gathered according to the mouth of his eating. And Moses said to them, do not let anyone leave from it until morning. And they did not listen to Moses, and some left from it until morning. And it began rotten with maggots and stunk. And Moses was angry against them. And they gathered it in the morning, each one in the morning, according to the mouth of his eating, and it melted in the heat of the sun. And it came about on the sixth day they gathered double bread, 2 omers for one. And all the leaders of the congregation came and reported to Moses. And he said to them, that is what Yahweh said, tomorrow is a rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. What you will bake, bake, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that is left over to keep it until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, and no maggot was in it. And Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you will not find it in the field. You shall gather it 6 days, and on the seventh day is a Sabbath, in it none shall be found. And it happened on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, and they did not find any. And Yahweh said to Moses, until when do you refuse to keep my commandments and my Torah? Behold, because Yahweh has given the Sabbath to you, therefore he is giving to you 2 days of bread on the sixth day. Each one of you remain in his place. Do not let anyone go out from his place on the seventh day. And the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like the seed of coriander white, and its taste like cakes with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. Fill an omer from it to keep for your generation, so that you may see the bread which I caused you to eat in the wilderness, as I brought you out from the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take one pitcher and put there the fullness of an omer of manna and deposit it before Yahweh to keep for your generations. Even as Yahweh commanded Moses, Aaron laid it up before the testimony to keep it. And the sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years until their coming into an inhabited land. They ate the manna until their coming to the border of the land of Canaan. So, we see here that very much like the Shemitah year, right, where Yahweh was providing for the people here with the manna in the same way that Yahweh provides for his people with the Shemitah year, that they're really connected in a lot of ways. The matter of faith, the matter of trust, the matter of belief. So I have 4 points here from this story here in Exodus 16 that I want to go over, that we could learn in the Shemitah year what really Yahweh wants from us and how to better be looking for the manna. The first one is Exodus 16:16. It says, this is the thing which Yahweh is commanding. Gather from it, each one according to the mouth of his eating, an omer for a head. By the number of your souls you shall take for each man who is in your tent. Gather from it. So what we see here with the manna is, even though Yahweh was the one providing the manna, the people still had to go out and gather it. They had to go out looking for it. So that's my first question, is, are you looking for the manna? The same way here, that I believe sometimes the only reason you're not receiving a blessing is you're not looking for it. You know, that people are sometimes waiting for the blessing to come to them, and sometimes it's the simplest thing that you have to do to receive the blessing. So you know, it sounds like a simple point, but I really believe that many times, and particularly here in the Shemitah, these blessings are just waiting for us. The Shemitah isn't something that you prepared for, and then it started last September 27th, and now we just wait a year till it's over. No, this is the seventh year. This is the sabbatical year. The same way every seventh day is a blessing, and there's a blessing in every seventh day, because it's a day that Yahweh's Spirit and Yahweh's presence is in that day, not like other days. So every Sabbath brings a blessing. But the seventh year is a whole year of blessings that are there for us. And are you looking for the manna? Are you actually going out expecting the blessing? Are you seeking the blessing? Are you looking for the blessing? Or are you just sitting back and saying, oh yeah, well, nothing happened to me this year? You know, because if you are, then you're not following, like you said here. You have to go out and look for it. And like I said, sometimes it can be the simplest thing that you have to do to get the blessing that you're not doing. 2 Kings 5. I think this is a good example of this. And this is with Naaman, remember? Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army. I'll read verse 1 through 3, and then I'll drop down to verse 9. It says, and Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was great and an exalted man before his master. For Yahweh had given deliverance to Syria by him. And he was a brave warrior, but leprous. And the Syrians had gone out in bands, and they seized from the land of Israel a little girl. And she was before Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, oh, that my master were before the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would recover him from his leprosy. Right? So then Naaman finds out, well, there's a prophet there that maybe could help me get rid of this leprosy. And what happens? Drop down to verse 9. Naaman comes to Israel and looks for Elisha. And Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go, and you shall wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh shall return to you, and you shall be clean. Right? Wow. How simple. The same way, remember when Yeshua, told the man the same thing? He put mud on his eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, and you'll see. And the man did it, and he saw. Here's something so simple. Go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Why 7 times? Why not? That's what he said. A very simple thing. Wash there 7 times and you're healed. And was Naaman happy? Did he thank him? No, look what he says. And Naaman became angry and went on and said, behold, I said, he will certainly come out on me and will stand and call on the name of Yahweh as Elohim and will wave his hand over this place and remove the leprosy. So he was looking for signs and wonders, right? Just like today. That's what many people in Christianity, Messianic, evangelicals, they're all looking for these signs and wonders. So they don't want to see a simple thing. They don't want to simply see an elder come and pray for somebody and him to be healed, or maybe something even that could even be simpler, right? Like you're sick, or maybe you're overweight because you're eating the wrong foods. And all you have to do is change your diet a little bit, right? Stop eating refined sugar, or stop eating, whatever. Stop eating white flour, whatever it could be that you're allergic to. And a very simple thing, and you could be healed. But no, the people today, they want the signs and wonders, right? They don't want to go out and do anything for their healing, even if it's a simple thing. They just want to be healed. They just want to get the blessing of it. And this is what Naaman was saying here, right? And then look what his men with him said. Well, first he says, are not Abana and Pharpha, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? Shall I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned and went on in his fury, right? So he's all mad instead of just thinking, wow, I could do a very simple thing here and I can be healed from it. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had spoken a great thing to you, would you not have done it, right? If he told you to do this thing, climb this mountain, hang from the top of it, whatever. If he told you something great, would you not do it? How much rather when he says to you, wash and be clean. And he went down and dipped in the Jordan 7 times according to the word of the man of the Elohim. And his flesh returned like the flesh of a little boy, and he was clean. So this is the first lesson I think we could learn from the manna. Are you looking for the manna, the Shemitah and the manna? That if you want the blessing, you have to go out looking for it. And there could be a small requirement that Yahweh puts on that. It's like at times, there's times where people have talked to me before about getting a new job. And they say, they're looking for a new job. And I'll say, well, are you seeking? Are you looking in the papers? Are you going on interviews? No, no, no. When the right job comes, Yahweh will bring it to me. Same thing with people selling their house. They know they need to get out of a certain area. And you say, oh, well, you put your house up for sale with a realtor. No, if Yahweh wants it sold, he'll bring the person to my house. And it's like, Yahweh is not a circus master of tricks. Yahweh is the greatest Elohim of the universe. And we should be respecting him and honoring him. And like I said, when it comes to blessings, there is a blessing every day of your life if you only see it. If we have eyes to see. And that's one of the things since COVID, I thank Yahweh every day of my life that I have eyes to see. I know I don't have eyes to see everything, but I have eyes to see what Satan is doing in this world. I have eyes enough to see it's time to get out of the world. I have eyes enough to see to go to the wilderness. And I have eyes enough to see that every day of my life is a blessing from Yahweh. It doesn't matter what happens at that day, that every single thing that happens, sickness is a blessing to one degree or another. Whatever it could be, losing a job could be a blessing because maybe you have something better coming down the line. Whatever happens in your life every day is a blessing, but we need to see that and we need to look for it and we need to expect it. So if you want the manna during the Shemitah, you got to get out of your house and you got to look for the manna. It's that simple. So that's the first lesson I think we could learn from this parable here in Exodus 16, or this story. Number two, let's go back to Exodus 16 and verse 19 and 20. And Moses said to them, do not let anyone leave it until the morning. And they did not listen to Moses, and some left it until morning. And it became rotten with maggots and stunk, and Moses was angry against them. So the second thing is, you know, I think it's a two-part lesson we learn here. Number one, judicial order, right? If the messenger of Yahweh, you know, in this case, Moses, the leader, you know, is a servant of Yahweh, is telling them something, why didn't they listen? You know, and there's certain times in the congregation that this happens, you know, changing the feasts from Jerusalem to the wilderness, you know, and like I said, almost everybody was supportive of it and said, if that's what Yahweh is leading, let's do it. There were a couple of people who questioned it, and then all of a sudden when the feast came, not only couldn't we keep the feast in Jerusalem, no one could. If that's not a sign from Yahweh that he says, you keep the feast, you go to the wilderness, if that's not a sign that that was the right decision, as we're all keeping the feast together, and everyone in Jerusalem is locked in their house because nobody is allowed out. I don't know what is a sign. But the point of it is, you know, when Yahweh's servants say something, we need to take it serious. So here it is, Moses is telling them, don't leave it till the morning. And what happened? Some of them thought they can get away with it, right? They were sneaking in their house. Nobody was seeing it. They were all by themselves. So they're sneaking in the house. And what happens? It gets rotten and it gets maggots. So, you know, you can trick a man. You know, you could sometimes even trick yourself, but you can't trick Yahweh. So Yahweh's servants are his servants. They do have authority. And we should be following and listening to the servants of Yahweh. The second part about this number two, though, with verse 19 and 20, is the blessing was to be used then. It wasn't to be for later, right? So if they used the blessing then, during the day, if they ate the manna, it was great. But if they tried to keep the manna for the next day, what happened? It got rotten and it got maggots. And I think what we could learn from this is that there's a blessing that's in the Shemitah year that's not going to be here next year, okay? And who knows, you know? I just came back from Africa recently, and I was telling them when I was in Africa that the last time I was there, it was just weeks before COVID came. And I was actually telling them as I was there about lockdowns and preparing and all this other stuff. And boom, a few weeks later, it happened, right? So who knows? And I didn't know. I had no idea. I knew something was coming for different reasons, but I didn't know that COVID was coming. And it's the same way now. We're in a year now. We're in the eye of the storm where we actually have a little time where we're able to travel. That's why I'm trying to take as many trips as possible and go to the congregations and prepare the people. We're trying to get our communities ready. We're trying to do everything, not just because we're in the eye of the storm, we're in the Shemitah. And whatever we do this year, we get 3 for 1, maybe 5 for 1, maybe 100 for 1. That's up to Yahweh. But he promises in the Shemitah year, it's a sabbatical year, that we are gonna be blessed tremendously if we're doing his work, if we're doing it toward him, not for just physical reasons, but if we're trying to do the work of Yahweh, he's gonna bless us for that. So you can't leave this blessing over because it's not going to be there next year, right? It may be in another way. You know, there's always a blessing of Yahweh, but it won't be this blessing. This blessing here has to be used now. And I think this is what we learn from here, that don't let it go. Don't let it go. Like I said, already half of it is over. And have you been praying to Yahweh about it? Have you been putting more time in your relationship with Yahweh? Have you been putting more time in with building your spiritual life? Have you been putting more time in with your Bible study and your prayer? Are you doing these things? Because this is the time that you're going to get blessing from it. And like I said, you know, Yahweh inspired me to make this the year of the relationship. And I'm amazed because in reality, I can't tell you how many people that I knew from the past, sometimes even 20 and 30 years ago, that have contacted me that I've had no contact with for years and years and years, and I didn't contact them. You know, I have a short list of some people. I said, oh, I'll contact maybe a few of these people, you know, and because it's the year of the relationship. But I didn't contact any of these other people, and they're all contacting me because there's a blessing in here for them. There's a blessing in here for the year of the relationship, of restoring relationships. And don't lose this blessing. Because like I said, the next day, if the people left the blessing of that manna, what happened? It rotted. It wasn't there. So I think this is a great lesson we could learn that, you know, with half a year left still, let's take advantage of it. Take advantage of all you can to get the greatest blessings out of the Shemitah. And like I said, not to say we can't get physical blessings because Yahweh blessed us, you know, 50-fold. But there's a lot of spiritual blessings is the ones I'm more talking about. So the blessings were not to be stored up for later, but for now. Shemitah is a great time of blessing. We have to take advantage of it. You got to work for today. And when you have blessings with you, you have to share those blessings, right? Because that's what the Shemitah was about. Why are we not supposed to harvest our field? Not to let the food rot out there. Yahweh isn't into rotting food. The reason why we're not supposed to harvest our vineyards is because other people are supposed to reap from the blessings that we also got. So you need to be thinking, what blessings do you have that Yahweh's giving you this year that you can share with other people? And if not, you could lose that blessing. And I'm going to go over a story here in Acts 5. You could even lose your life. I mean, this is serious stuff we're going over because we're in the last days here. In Acts 5, somebody who was not willing to be honest and share their blessing, and look what happened. But a certain man named Kananiah and his wife Sapphira sold a property and kept back from the price. His wife, also aware of it, and bringing a certain part, they put it at the feet of the apostles, right? So it wasn't, he didn't have to give all of it, right? As we're going to see here. But he was claiming, he was lying that this was all the price and he was giving all the price and he wasn't. He was holding back the blessing. And Peter said, Kananiah, why did Satan fill your heart for you to lie to the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and to secretly keep back from the price of the land, right? So why does he have to lie about it? If he wanted to keep back, why wouldn't he just say, you know, look, I need to keep part of this for me, and but this is the part that I can share. Because look what Peter says. Was it not yours before it was sold? And after it was sold, again, you were in control of the proceeds. So, you know, there's nothing in Scripture that says you have to give 100% of something. But he was in. So why have you placed in your heart to do this spectacle? You have not lied in the presence of men, but in the presence of Elohim. It's another thing to remember. Whenever we are lying, we're not lying to human beings. We're lying to Yahweh. Because Yahweh is the one that punishes for lying, not human beings. And hearing these words, Kananiah fell down and died. And great fear came on all those who heard. And rising up, the younger ones wrapped him, and carrying him out, they buried him. And about 3 hours afterwards, his wife also entered, not knowing what happened. And Peter answered her, tell me if you gave over the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Simon said to her, because you have deliberated to tempt the spirit of Yahweh, behold, the feet of the grave diggers of your husband are at the door, and they will take you out. And she immediately fell at the feet and died. And entering, the younger ones found her dead, and carrying her out, they buried her beside her husband. And great fear came on all the assembly, on all those hearing these things, right? Great fear came on them. Why did great fear come on them? Because they saw that you can't lie to the spirit of Yahweh. The Yahweh spirit is real, it's living, and you know, we're in a time where we need to be overcoming these things and repenting and not doing, you know, not lying about these things. So, again, you have to provide when there is a need. You know, that's basically one of the other things the Shemitah comes. That everything that we're being blessed with, and that's why whoever took more did not have too much, whoever took little did not had enough with the manna. Because it's a time, the Shemitah is a time of equality. It's a time where whatever we have, we're allowing other people to share in that bounty. You know, it doesn't mean that we can't prepare for the Shemitah, because that's part of the command. The command is that Yahweh will bless whatever we're preparing for 3 years. So it's not talking about getting rid of all our food, because that's actually what we need. Yahweh's word says that it will be for the 7th, the 8th, and even going into the 9th year. But it's talking about the blessings that come from the Shemitah, right? So during the Shemitah, if you have fruit trees outside, or maybe you were blessed with something else, you know, maybe you got an inheritance, like in the story we just read. Whatever it can be, that you're sharing that, and you're sharing whatever blessing is coming into your life, even if it's just a blessing of happiness, that you're sharing that happiness with other people. Whatever the blessing that Yahweh has given you, it's that it's the Shemitah year that other people are supposed to glean from your blessings. So that's the second lesson I think we learned from Exodus 16. Let's go to number 3. Exodus 16, 23 through 28. And he said to him, "That is what Yahweh said. Tomorrow is a rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. What you will bake, bake. What you will boil, boil. And lay up for yourself all that is left over to keep it until the morning." Right? So this day, the seventh day, you are to keep it over because it's a Sabbath day. Just like in the sixth year, we are to prepare for the Shemitah because we can't go out and we can't plant in the seventh year. Right? So that's what we have to do. And Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you will not find it in the field. You shall gather it 6 days, and on the seventh day is a Sabbath, and none will be found." And it happened on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather and did not find any. And Yahweh said to Moses, "Until when will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws or my Torah?" Wow. So again, judicial order. They still didn't listen, even after what happened before. So people, some of them, even though it was the Sabbath day, still went out to gather. Why did they go to gather on the Sabbath day? Because they didn't believe Moses and they didn't gather on the sixth day. So what is lesson number 3? We are to prepare double in the sixth year and trusting Yahweh for providing for us. And unfortunately, there are some people who didn't do that. There are some people that just, they heard it over and over and over for months and months and months. Now granted, when we first, and I've known about the Shemitah for many years, I never understood we shouldn't be buying from supermarkets because not only are they planting food, but they're harvesting food, in the Shemitah year. So if Yahweh says for us not to plant in our own property, why would we buy food from somebody else that's planting food that's not kosher? Literally, anything that is planted in the Shemitah year is not kosher. It's not a kosher food at that point because it's violating a commandment. So it would be no different if you're going out now and buying in the store tomatoes and whatever, you know, that were planted after September 27th of 22. Maybe they were planted in October or December, October, November, and now you're getting them. It's like eating pork. It's not kosher. So there are people that didn't prepare for whatever reason. Some of them just didn't want to. Maybe some of them didn't have enough resources. But it's a matter of trusting Yahweh for this. And the ones that didn't trust Yahweh, what are they doing now? Some of them are actually going out and buying things that clearly were planted in the Shemitah year. And the other thing is, in the world we live in today, I can't believe, like I said, we're halfway through the Shemitah. I can't believe how much food we're still finding in supermarkets that was from before Shemitah. You know, all the time, almost every time we go there. You know, it could be canned vegetables or whatever, even frozen vegetables that we're finding, that were planted, you know, that were put in the bag actually last May. So, you know, they were planted even months and months and months before that. But they were actually put in the bags last May or June, you know, months before the Shemitah started. So it's just a matter of trusting Yahweh, and that's where the blessings come. That's where in a Shemitah year, more than any other time, just like on a Sabbath day, like I said, when you leave that house, you have no idea how Yahweh's going to bless you that day. You have no idea what you're going to find out there. You have no idea what you can find even in your own property. You know, sometimes you find, like we found things we didn't even plant that was growing outside in the yard, like spinach and those kind of things. So, but one thing is, we have to make sure that we are not eating food that was planted or harvested in the Shemitah. So if you are, you're violating Yahweh's commandments. And you want to know something. The other thing is, depending on where you live, there's a lot of local farmers that have fruits that they're very small. So they're not commercial. They're not harvesting it all once, but they might sell it on the side of the road. I know in Africa, everywhere you go, you see people selling stuff on the side of the road. And as long as it's fruits that are being picked daily or weekly, you could get those fruits. That's not going against the Sabbath law because they're not being, like today, harvested all one time and put in a big freezer and then sent halfway around the world to something else, you know, like the big supermarkets do. So it's just a matter of looking for that blessing. But again, when it's vegetables that are planted after September 27th, you can't do it. It's not kosher. And there's people that are doing it, just like here, in as the story we're reading, that on the Sabbath day, people were going out and looking for the manna and it wasn't there. So you're losing your blessing. You're taking away such a great blessing if you're going out and you're buying food during the Shemitah that you know you shouldn't be buying. It's that simple. Numbers 15 and verse 29. Numbers 15 and verse 29. Because we see what happened when somebody violated the Sabbath. Numbers 15 and verse 29. Both the native among the sons of Israel and the alien that lives among them, one law shall be to you for him who acts in error, right? So Yahweh's not double-minded. It's the same Torah for everybody. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you're Israelite or whether you're, you know, alien. And the soul that does anything with a high hand of defiance, whether of a native or the alien, the same blasphemes Yahweh. And that person shall be cut off from the midst of his people. So the person who knows that something is wrong and something is sin, and they do it anyway, they're blaspheming Yahweh. They're literally blaspheming because you're doing it. You're not just doing a sin in error. You're purposely sinning. You're going out and purposely sinning, and Yahweh says that's blasphemy against him. For he has despised the word of Yahweh and has broken his command. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be on him. And while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation. And they put him under guard, for it had not been declared what should be done to him. So it's not Moses and Aaron that made this judgment. It's Yahweh. Listen to what Yahweh says. And Yahweh said to Moses, surely the man shall die. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. And the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stone, and he died as Yahweh had commanded. Wow. So it's a serious thing to violate the Sabbath day. And the Shemitah is a Sabbath. It's the seventh year Sabbath. And the ironic part is sometimes, and the one thing is Yahweh can forgive anything, but Yahweh hates hypocrisy. Yahweh just hates hypocrisy. And there's sometimes brethren that will judge people not cooking on Sabbath, like he says, on Friday, bake what you bake and boil what you boil, right? And they do that. There's brethren that will cook and do all the cooking on Friday, and simply because they heat the food that's already cooked, some brethren will judge them that they're violating the Sabbath, and some of those same brethren will violate Shemitah. And they'll be going out eating food that was planted in the Shemitah as they're judging their brother for warming food in an oven that is not work. It is not work to warm food on the Sabbath day. So we really got to be careful because Matthew 7 is real clear. As you judge, you will be judged. And sometimes people are judging. They're being self-righteous. And, you know, I honestly believe since 2015, since the last Shemitah, Yahweh has been pouring out his spirit every year more. And now we're in the Shemitah again. Oh boy, I can't wait for Shavuot, because Shavuot, Yahweh will be pouring his spirit out even more. But I don't just see it in my own life. I see it everywhere I go. I see it with the brethren. I see the brethren getting more of the mind of Yahweh. And Yahweh is not, he's not that petty that he's writing all these laws looking for a reason for you to figure out how we can get you, trick you into breaking one of those laws, and then just zap you and kill you. That's not the way he is. He's merciful. He's loving. He's all forgiving. And he wants nothing more for us to be obedient. And when people that are so stinking self-righteous, that have their own way of doing things, that aren't according to Scripture, but according to their own way, and it could be with a lot of things, it's like this, whether it's how they make their tassel or, you know, what they believe on this and that. All of these things, just like Yeshua said to the Pharisees, you know, that they're straining at a gnat to swallow a camel. And basically, Yahweh hates this. So that's one of the things we should learn from the Shemitah year is there's going to be punishment for people that aren't keeping it and people that are knowingly not keeping it. But boy, we better be careful how we're judging people, not on necessarily the Shemitah, but on things that are not breaking or violating Torah that we want people to do, you know, our way. And that's one of them is with the food warming, that we've had that situation come up in different places, mostly Africa, but in certain places where people judging other people. And again, you know, if you look at the mind of Yahweh, he doesn't have us do work. Why doesn't he have us do work? Because he wants that 24 hours of the Sabbath for you to be with him. He doesn't want it. It's think of your dad, you know, think of, you know, you being, your older dad comes to your house on Sabbath to see you. And then on that day, you're out cutting wood and you're out mowing the grass and you're doing all these things and you have no time for him. And he's like, wow, I only had this one day to come here and you've been out all day. We didn't even get a chance to fellowship. Well, that's why Yahweh has us not work on Sabbath. He has us not work on Sabbath because on the Sabbath, he wants us to be with him and have fellowship with him. And that's the reason why. And that's why he says, cooking, yeah, cooking takes time. Cooking, it can take hours to do cooking. The same way starting a fire. You know, that's why it says don't kindle a fire. Starting a fire can take hours. You have to go and get the wood. You have to cut it. You have to get the kindle. You have to put it all together. You have to start it. But putting food that's already cooked in an oven and pressing a button for 20 minutes to warm it is not violating the Sabbath day. That's not work. And, you know, we have to think if you really, some people really have to start praying to Yahweh to get his mind and stop judging other people for things that are not breaking Sabbath, but having a self-righteous attitude. But here it is, like I said, going out and buying food that's planted in the Shemitah, that is a violation of the Sabbath law. Number four, the fourth lesson I think we could learn from Exodus 16 is verse 11 and 12. And Yahweh, this is the last lesson I'm going to go over here. And Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, I have heard the murmurings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them saying, between the evenings you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you will be satisfied with bread, and you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. So, you know, what happens here? People murmuring and complaining. You know, that's a major lesson of the wilderness and a major lesson right here. You know, when we're looking at the manna that's coming. People murmuring and complaining instead of going and looking for the manna and believing, right? All they had to do was go out and look for the manna and believe Yahweh, and it was there. But people will complain, and you know, there are some people that complain with the Shemitah the same way. Well, where I am, I can't find this, and where I am, I can't do that, and we don't have the money to buy this food, and we don't have this and that. And man, instead of complaining, just get off your rear end, get out of the house, and look for the blessing. Because it's there. It's there. And what you're doing is, when you're murmuring, you're not murmuring against a family member, you're not murmuring against a pastor, you're not murmuring against anybody except for Yahweh who made the law. You are murmuring against Yahweh. You are blaspheming. Because Yahweh says, I am giving you this for your good. And Yahweh says, I will bless you triple if you do this. And then you're going to murmur against him? How hard it is to do? You are blaspheming when you're doing that. You're literally blaspheming. So people were murmuring instead of going out and looking for the manna. Jacob 4, 2 through 4. Jacob chapter 4, 2 through 4. You have to start asking yourself, maybe your priorities aren't right. If you're murmuring and complaining about Shemitah, maybe your priorities simply aren't right. Look what he says. From where come conflicts and fightings from among you? Is it not from your lusts warring in your members? You covet, and yet you do not have. You murder and are jealous, and you are not able to possess. You fight and you strive, and you have nothing because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you do not ask sincerely. You ask in order that you may satisfy your lust. So, like I said, we're halfway through the Shemitah. If you don't have any blessings for the Shemitah, boy, you better read Jacob, the fourth chapter, a little more. Maybe your priorities aren't right. Maybe there's something that your priorities are not right. Because he says here that, you know, our in the Shemitah year, we should be asking for the spiritual blessings, right? This is a year that Yahweh will pour spiritual blessings on us. And you want to know something? They might come through trials. Some of the greatest spiritual lessons you could learn are through the worst trials you go through. So it doesn't mean in the Shemitah year you're not going to go through trials and tribulation. You might go through worse than you ever have in your life, but the blessing that's at the end of it is going to be the greater of it. So, you know, like I was the message I gave on the other side That's when it comes. You have to go through the pain to get to the strength. So I'm not trying to say that in the Shemitah year, everything is going to be, you know, roses and candy. What I'm trying to say is that you have to look for the blessing Yahweh's giving. And to do that, you have to open up your eyes. You have to get out and you have to look for it. Just like with the manna, you had to go out looking for it. So you might be going through a tough trial right now and you're wondering, wow, why am I going through this trial? It's the same way. Look for the manna. Look for the manna in your trial. What is the manna in your trial? What is Yahweh sharing with you? What is the blessing that's coming out of that trial? Because again, like I just said, some of the greatest blessings can come from our greatest trials. But here he's saying, why are some people not receiving? Not because they're not asking, because when they're asking only for physical things. They're asking for the wrong things. And if you're asking for the wrong things, Yahweh's not going to give them. Just like a parent. If a child is coming and they're only asking, you know, for candy and sugar, any good parent isn't going to give their child those kind of things because they know it's going to harm the child and destroy their pancreas or whatever. So the key to it is we want to make sure that sometimes we're not receiving because we're looking for the wrong blessing. The Shemitah is a year of building up. It's a year of tearing down. It's a year to have more time for the work of Yahweh and change to be more spiritual in our lives. Are you looking for Yahweh's manna, his blessings, or physical things? Doesn't mean you're not going to get the physical. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom and all these other things will be added to you, right? So he just says, don't be troubled and don't be worried, you know, over what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we put on, you know. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh, Matthew 6:33, and all these other things will be given to you. So this is the year that we need to be looking for that. Luke 11 in verse 9. Luke 11 and verse 9. And I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you, right? So that's what I'm saying. Maybe the reason you might not be receiving the blessing is you're not seeking and you're not seeking the right things. Excuse me. For everyone asking receives, and the one seeking finds, and to the one knocking it will be open. And who among you, if he is a father, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone. And if he asks for a fish, he will give him a snake instead of a fish. And if he should ask for an egg, he will give him a scorpion. And if you who are evil, you know to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father from heaven will give the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to those who ask him. So is our prayers during the Shemitah year spiritual? Is our prayer to have more faith, to have more love, to have more patience, to have more self-control, to have more of a spirit of sharing and giving, to have, you know, are they the gifts of the Spirit? Or are we looking just for fleshy things? Because he says very clearly right here, you know, if we, being evil, will give our children good things, how much more your Father from heaven will give the Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit, to those who ask him. So when we put this together with Jacob, we see, with Jacob 4, you know, we see that we need to be asking Yahweh, but we need to be asking for the right things. 1 Corinthians 10, because a spirit of murmuring, not only is it blasphemy to Yahweh, but it's a spirit that takes on its own life, you know, because once you start getting into that pattern of murmuring and complaining and playing the victim, it builds on itself. And then you become that, you know, like I said, your body is a printout of your thoughts, and your body, who you are, your facial expressions, you know, you literally become what your mind is thinking, right? So as a man thinks, so he is. And that's why I say, if you're constantly being angry, you're an angry person. If you're constantly coveting things, you're a covetous person. And if you're constantly murmuring, you're a murmuring person. And this is the main thing, more than anything, murmuring kept the children of Israel out of the kingdom of Yahweh, out of Israel. And wow, that is scary when you look at that. 2 million people that died in the wilderness because of murmuring. and only two made it into the promised land. It's not like half and half. It's not like a million made it in, a million didn't. It was 99.999999%. You know, out of 2 million, 1,999,998 didn't make it in. And Caleb and Joshua were the two, as we'll see shortly here. But 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 1. It says, "And I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized to Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock following, and that rock was Messiah." Wow, he was with them, right? He was the messenger of Yahweh before them and behind. "Yet Yahweh was not pleased with most of them, for they were scattered in the deserted place," right? They were scattered there. Why were they scattered? Go to verse 10. "Neither should you murmur, as also some of them murmured, and perish by the hand of the destroyer." In the Aramaic, it literally says Satan, you know. "And all these things happened to those as examples, and it was written for our warning, on whom the ends of the ages have come." So here it is, we clearly see that these things happened for those examples, and it was written for our warning, on whom the end of the ages has come. First Corinthians chapter 10 is really, it's like, it's our manual, you know, for what the Israelites did wrong. I did a whole sermon on this a couple of years ago at Sukkot. But murmuring was the main thing that these people did. Murmuring was the worst sin of the Israelites, showed no appreciation for Yahweh's provision or blessing. And that's what the Shemitah is all about. The Shemitah is about seeing the blessing, going out and receiving the blessing, and acknowledging Yahweh's blessing in your life. And like I said, murmuring is actually accusing Yahweh. You imagine? And some people do it. Some people do it all the time. Many times they're non-believers, you know, that will say, you know, first they say they don't even believe Elohim exists, and then all of a sudden when they have a problem in their life, they're blaming him for something that's happening, although they said he doesn't exist. But I've seen believers do the same thing. Believers blame Yahweh. How could he allow this to happen or that to happen? And face it, we live in Satan's world, you know? Things are going to happen bad here. If not, what would be the purpose of bringing the kingdom of Yahweh? But the key to it is that, like I said, even through the worst trials, and particularly in the Shemitah year, there is a blessing at the end, you know, of every trial. That's what Yahweh promises us. And the worse the trial, the greater the blessing. Numbers 14, because this is where we see the situation that literally kept the children of Israel, most of them, out of the wilderness. When Yahweh sent them into the promised land to spy out the land, to look at it, they were ready to go in, they were ready to take over. And what happens? Most of the spies came back with a bad report, and the people were screaming and crying. They didn't want to follow. And let me read here. I'll start in verse 1 of Numbers 14. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept during that night. And all the sons of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and all the congregation said to them, 'Oh, that we had died in the land of Egypt, or in this wilderness. Oh, that we had died. And why is Yahweh bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our infants have become a prey. It is not good for us to return to Egypt.'" Is it not good for us to return to Egypt? So, wow. Talk about blaspheming. Here it is. They're slaves there for hundreds of years. And not just slaves. I mean, bad slaves. Being whipped, beaten, you know, tortured in some cases. Yahweh comes and delivers them, does 10 miracles to deliver them, takes down the greatest army in the world in Pharaoh at that time, parts the Red Sea, and brings the people to his holy mountain, to Mount Sinai. And what's their answer? This is their answer. "We want to go back to Egypt." Wow. Talk about blasphemy, you know. But sometimes some people do the same thing. If you're complaining during the Shemitah about things, if you're lusting, you know, for the cucumbers and the broccoli that you had in the other 6 years, you're doing the same thing. You know, There's plenty of foods we could eat in the Shemitah, and if we prepared, we could. You have almost anything you want that you prepared, and sometimes even more than normal, because there's things that you might not normally have in a normal year that you prepared, you know, when you pickled or jarred or canned or whatever in a Shemitah year. But this was what they wanted to do. They wanted to return. And they sent each to his brother, let us give a leader and return to Egypt. Wow. Wow. So here it is. At this point, they don't know that Yahweh is with Moses, with all the miracles that he did, even hitting the rock, having the water come out. And their answer is, we want to go back. We want to go back. Just like there's people that turn back on their calling. They want to go back to the world. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. And Yehoshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who spied out the land, tore their garments, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land into which we passed to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If Yahweh has delighted in us, then he will bring us into the land and will give it to us, a land which is flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against Yahweh, and you do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their defense is turned away from them, and Yahweh is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. And the glory of Yahweh appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. And Yahweh said to Moses, until when will this people despise me? And until when will they continue not to believe in me for all the signs I have done in their midst? I shall strike it with pestilence and dispossess it. And he's telling Moses, I will make you a nation greater and mightier than it. And Moses said to Yahweh, and the Egyptians will hear, for you have brought up this people out of the midst with your power. Drop down to verse 20 and see what Yahweh says. And Yahweh said, I have forgiven according to your word, but as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. For all the men who are seeing my glory and my miracles, which I have done in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tried me these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, they shall not see the land which I have sworn to their fathers. Yea, not one of those who have provoked me shall see it. Wow. Wow. So, like I said, they actually were accusing Yahweh, which is so selfish and prideful, they couldn't see that all they had to do was look for the manna to get the blessing, right? All they had to do was look for the manna to get the blessing. And it's interesting, look what Joshua and Caleb said. If Yahweh, verse 8, if Yahweh has delighted in us, then he will bring us into the land and will give it to us, a land which is flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against Yahweh and do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their defense is turned away from them. They are our bread, right? The people, he's saying the people of our bread. The other people are worried and fearful, and yet they say they are our bread. Yahweh is going to allow us to overcome them and to defeat them, and he did. You know, he helped them fighting in battles for that. They couldn't see that all they had to do was look for the manna to get the blessing. Because that's what happens when you have this spirit of murmuring and pride. It takes on a life of itself. And then you don't even know it because it's in you. It's in your nervous system and in your brain. It's like a computer. And if you put all the wrong programs in your computer, then how can you get anything done? If you only have bad programs that are in there, and that's what happens. It's like you're programming your body to destroy itself. And in the end, the only one the people are accusing is Yahweh. But verse 24, Numbers 14, 24. And my servant Caleb, because there is another spirit in him, and he is fully following me, I shall bring him into the land into which he has gone, and his seed shall possess it. So Caleb had another spirit. Caleb didn't have the spirit of pride and selfishness and murmuring and fear and questioning and doubt, which all come from the same root, the same spirit. But Caleb had a spirit of humility and faith and trust in Yahweh more than anything. Jacob 2 and verse 14, last scripture we have here. Jacob chapter 2 and verse 14. Because faith always brings an action. You have to be looking for the manna. Jacob chapter 2 and verse 14. My brothers, what is the gain if anyone says he has faith, but he does not have deeds? Is the faith able to restore life to him? But if a brother or a sister is naked and may be lacking in daily food, and any one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but does not give to them the things of the body needs, then what is the gain? Like I said, one of the lessons we learn here, right? Whatever we're blessed with, we should be sharing. So also faith, if it does not have deeds, is dead being by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith apart from your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that Elohim is one. Ikad, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. But are you willing to know, O vain man, that faith apart from deeds is dead? Was not our father Abraham justified by his deeds, offering up his son Isaac on the altar? You see how faith helped with his deeds, and how by his deeds the faith was made perfect, right? He went looking for the manna, and what did he find? He found the sacrifice, you know, in the thicket. And scripture was fulfilled, saying, and Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was counted for righteousness to him, and he was called friend of Elohim. Wow. So that's the point of it. When we believe Yahweh, how on earth can you ever start a relationship with someone that you don't even believe them? You know, if you don't even believe them, how on earth? And here it is, Yahweh, who has never lied, who has never not, his word has not come true, but has done everything. How on earth do you think you're ever going to have a relationship with him if you don't even believe him? And that's all faith is. Faith is simply belief. So it doesn't matter if things on the ground are not coming out like you think they should. You have to trust in Yahweh, and like I said, at the end of everything, there's always going to be a blessing. Everything will work out for the good, like it says in Romans 8:28, right? And this is why Abraham was called friend of Elohim, because he trusted him with all his heart. He looked for the manna. You see then how a man by his deeds becomes righteous and not by faith only. But in the same way, Rahab the innkeeper was also justified by her deeds, having received the messengers and sending them out by another way. For as the body is dead apart from the spirit, so also faith without deeds is dead. So you must actively seek the blessing if you believe in faith. If you believe in faith, you have to actively be seeking Yahweh's blessing that's there. If you say you believe that the manna is there, but you don't go out and look for it, then that's false faith, right? So if you say, oh yeah, you know, I believe in the Shemitah, and I believe that, you know, that Yahweh in the manna, and I believe he's going to bring it, and yet you don't go looking for it, then what does that tell? It tells that you have more of a hope than a faith. You don't really believe it. Many times, brethren are not receiving a blessing simply because they're not going out and looking for it. It is the Shemitah year, a year of great blessings to the people of Yahweh who believe and trust in him in faith. But just as the Israelites had to go out each day and gather the manna, we must go and look for the Shemitah blessings. After a while, it became normal to the Israelites to go out every day and look for the manna, because it was there each day, and they believed in faith, and they didn't even have to think about it. They just wake up and go look for it, because they knew it by seeing it day after day. They just knew in faith that it was going to be there the next day. We need the same belief that the manna, the blessings of Yahweh, will be out there each day for us that we leave our house. So I know when we first left Babylon and were in Israel, you know, every day we used to get up, and before we would leave our house, we would do the daily sacrifice, the prayer, and just pray to Yahweh to be a living sacrifice for him that day. And we would go out and see. And every day was something different. Some days you're carrying an old lady's bags to her house, and one day you might be casting out a demon. We're seeing another miracle that's happening. You just didn't know. But all I know is I left the house every day, and when I prayed that prayer, that Father, I want to be a living sacrifice to you today, I meant it. So no matter what I was doing, my mind was consciously looking for the Spirit of Yahweh if there's any work he had for me that day. And I still do it up to today. I still do the same thing every day I get up. I pray that prayer to Yahweh to be a living sacrifice. Are we actively looking for fresh food to glean when we leave the house? I know not in every area you can do it. In America, if you did that, you'd probably get shot in a lot of places. You know, you just can't go and glean off people's properties. But there's a lot of places in the world where you can, where there's just trees out there where you can glean. But you have to be praying anyway, because Yahweh may bring it in another way. Maybe, like I said, I can't believe this year we had no idea how much fresh produce neighbors were going to give us from their trees, and how the blessing of it that they've done. We found fruit in parking lots, you know. So just praying to Yahweh, you know, it's the Shemitah, go out. And we go out and we go to the store, and in the parking lot is a piece of fruit that's laying on the ground. You know, maybe some people wouldn't take it for whatever reason. But we have. And I'll tell you a quick story that one time, not that long ago, we were riding, and I forget where we were going. We had an appointment or something. And as we were riding down the street, I saw a pomelo. You know, it's something like a grapefruit. And it was out in the street. And I'm like, wow, there's a just laying there, you know. Never seen that before, you know, in any other year. Here's the Shemitah, it's laying there. And I was thinking, wow, Yahweh put that there for us. So I thought to myself, okay, you know, we were on kind of a busy road. I said, let's stop where we're going. And then on the way back, you know, I'll pick up the pomelo. Well, do you want to know something? After we stopped, and it wasn't that long. It was maybe only 5 or 10 minutes, because I actually even stopped when we were at this appointment. I even walked back to look for that pomelo, and it was run over by a car and destroyed. And I thought to myself, ah, that blessing was for me, and I lost it. I lost that blessing because I didn't take it when it was there. And you have to do that. You know, I tell new people this. You don't know how many people come to faith, right, and they believe in the Sabbath and they believe in things, but they're kind of on the fence and they don't make that decision to quit their job for Shabbat or whatever they're doing, and then all of a sudden you never hear from them again. You know, because faith is not something as a human being that you're going to have 24/7, 365 days a year. Faith is something that we have to a degree, but when we need it, the Holy Spirit will inspire us, you know, like it inspired the prophets of old. And when that time is there, when you have that second in time, that something is there, that blessing is there, you have to take it while it's there. Because like I said, it might not be there tomorrow. Just like we saw, the manna came each day. But if you tried to leave it to the next day, it wasn't there. So I say, it's a good lesson I learned from that pomelo. I should have just pulled over right there no matter what and got that, because it wasn't the sake of, excuse me, losing the pomelo. It was the sake of losing a blessing. It was a blessing that Yahweh had for me that I lost that day. So we have to be thinking about this. Every day we go out, we have to be thinking. You have to be praying, do the daily sacrifice, pray to Yahweh to be a daily sacrifice. Go out there and see where the Holy Spirit can use you in His work, and see where Yahweh's blessing is for you that day. We can't wait to look for and get the Shemitah blessing each day, or they may not be there tomorrow, right? So when we see it, you have to act on it. Israelites did not go out each day to see if the manna was there. They went out to glean, fully knowing it was there. So like I said, maybe the first day or two, or who knows, maybe the first week, they did go out, is it going to be there? But after a while, they just believed in faith. So they didn't go out looking for the manna, they went out gleaning the manna. And we have to do the same thing. We have to go out every day after we pray that prayer in full faith that Yahweh's blessing is going to be there that day. And like I said, it could be in 100 different ways. Just coming home and being alive is a blessing that comes. You know, I mean, you can get hit by a car and get killed. But we have to actively be seeing the blessing that Yahweh has for us every day in our life. Because like I said, many times the blessings are there. People don't even see the blessings in their life. You have to be expecting it. In the manna, when you're going out and looking for the manna, you have to expect to get it. And if not, then how are you ever going to get it? Because if you're not expecting it, then you're not trusting in Yahweh for that. We need to get in the routine as the Israelites did each day, looking for the manna, that's and expecting it. And that's what makes the Shemitah year so much fun. So until next time, Shabbat Shalom. Yahweh bless.